Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Webtoon Wednesday episode, and today we're going to be talking about a really interesting strip that I couldn't put down, very compelling. It's called Rebirth, and I have the creator, Michi, here with me. So, Michi, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. As I was saying, it's a very interesting strip. It blends a bunch of different ideas all really cool together, and I had a hard time putting it down. So before we dive into talking about Rebirth, though, I always like to ask Webtoon creators when they come on for the first time kind of about their background with comics, you know, whether or not you grew up reading them, and then your decision to transition into a creator. So when did you first discover comics and sequential storytelling? Were you real young, and did you grow up reading them?
For me, as far as I can remember, I always been reading comic. I think it started with my older sister who bought and like collect comic throughout the high school years. And the comic that she bought often were my cup of tea. So I just kind of started also spending my allowance on comic instead of breakfast. As for when did I take interest in drawing comic myself? I'm pretty sure it was also because of my sister. I remember when I was like 5, I saw her doodling in her notebook and I picked at it and it was this comic page and I just thought to myself, cool. So I also started imitating her.
Now, you said the stuff that she was reading wasn't really your cup of tea. What kind of comics did you gravitate toward? What did you like to read?
I like action and fantasy comic, and she was reading more like romance and drama stuff.
And these were mangas, I'm assuming?
Yes, they were manga.
And then at what point did you think, okay, I've been reading comics, I love them, I've been imitating my sister and drawing them, maybe I can create my own comic? Was there a point in time where, like, you remember making that decision, or did it happen more gradually?
Actually, when I was younger, I draw in notebook too, but eventually I found out comic was pretty hard to do. So in middle school, I kind of fell out of it and started getting more into writing story. Mm-hmm. I had a blog that's translate novel that I like and posted my own story on there that I wrote in my free time. The urge to make my own comic actually didn't come back until I stumbled across Webtoon, which was like in 2017.
Oh, so relatively recently then.
Yes, I do like drawing illustration and stuff, but I didn't really got into comic.
Now, is Rebirth your first work, or is there other previous work that we should check out?
Yes, Rebirth is my first comic ever.
Wow, so why don't you tell our listeners what the story is kind of all about? I know that's it's not an easy job because, as I said, there's so many different aspects to the story.
Yes. Okay. The story is about a man who lived in a zombie apocalyptic world for about 6 years. And one day he realized his mistake, went to save the person that he's wronged the most in his life, die, and was giving a second chance, get pushed back into the past a day before the outbreak, and now has to make a better choice in his life and survive the apocalypse.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, you talk about being able to go back in time and right a wrong, or make up for a mistake you made, but the stakes are so much higher when the setting is a zombie apocalypse and mm-hmm. to make a change. So where did you come up with the idea for the story?
The idea, okay. Actually been really fascinated with zombie apocalypse story and the idea of time travel, because if you read Chinese novel and like Japanese light novel, it's like the big part of it in there. And I would say that's where most of my inspiration came from.
Now, when you started coming up with the idea for the story, you know, zombie mm-hmm. apocalypse, as you said, so popular in so many different cultures, obviously in Western comics with The Walking Dead and the TV show, but you're really bringing so much more to that, because we mentioned, as you just said, not just mm-hmm. zombie apocalypse, but somebody going back in time,
yeah.
You know, so they have some forethought and some knowledge of things that are going to happen in the future. But then you've also got this family drama, both mm-hmm. in terms of his actual family and also the kind of the other survivors that he meets up with, and there's interesting character dynamics there. But then you've also introduced this idea of superpower, so almost like a Western superhero comic as well. So can you give some insight into what made you decide to put so much into this story? Like, why did you decide to tackle so many different genres all in one story?
Okay, for the different gen, like I said, I grew up reading a lot of Chinese novel, and superpower in a zombie apocalypse world is like pretty normal, actually. So when I first found Webtoon, like, I think it would deal more with the Western audience because it's an English side. I realized that people don't seem to be familiar at all with this kind of story, which to me has always been normal. So I thought bringing mine in would make a pretty good variety for people to read.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And you're right. I had no idea that in the Chinese zombie stories that having superpowers was... So because I think so often here, the whole point of a lot of the zombie stories are the fact that you're taking normal people and you're putting them in these extraordinary circumstances and you see how they react. So having these other powers, it brings a really cool element to it. So do you find that, and maybe not, because as you said, you're so familiar with the, kind of this kind of story, but have you found that it's a challenge to kind of balance all the ideas in the story, everything you want to get in terms of, okay, we've got zombies, we've got superpowers, we've got family drama, we've got the time travel. Is it kind of tough to make sure that everything gets space on the page?
Oh yeah, definitely. In the beginning, it's kind of hard to introduce everything in at the same time. So my beginning is kind of slow paces for lots of people. But I try to make sure that when I'm about to introduce like a different element in, I ease it in slowly, make reference to it before actually revealing it, so people don't seem to be too surprised about it.
Yeah, that's interesting that you put it like that, because you sort of have an advantage in the time travel aspect of the story. And what I mean by that is, so you can have Noah, because he has a knowledge of things that are going to happen. You can have him kind of play with the idea, right? And say, is this going to happen next? Yeah. And then take your time to reveal it, right?
Mm-hmm. He's just going to make reference to it and people are like, okay, that's going to happen. So they're not too surprised about it.
Yeah, and the other aspect that's got to be a challenge is you have a big cast. Was it always your plan right from the beginning to have such a large cast of characters?
Actually, no, but I thought about limiting my cast down, but then I also thought about the chaotic wars of a zombie apocalypse. When you run around, you're bound to run into other survivors. So I try to give my side cast some interaction with the main cast to bring out more of their personality so people can have more fun reading about them.
Yeah, and then it also has to be a challenge with such a large cast, too. You know, inevitably, it's a zombie apocalypse, so you're going to lose people along the way. But you've got to make sure that the characters get enough time in the spotlight, so to speak, so that when they do have something terrible happen to them, that the readers care, right? Like they're invested in please not so-and-so, they were my favorite. Have you had that? Have you realized that that's a challenge as well?
Yes, it's mostly for the main cast because most of the story is spent with them. But one thing about the side cast I do is that I was saying that most people is more invested in the main cast, which like Lee or Noah, if one of them die or something, people was more invested in them. And for the side cast, one way I have people invest in them is just to have them having interaction with the main character, because that where most of the people spending time with, like most of them spend time in that perspective, so it's easier for them to relate to the side character if the main character actually care about them.
Yeah, so you mentioned that you've kind of gotten a bigger cast than you initially thought. Is there any other ways that the stories change from your original plot organically as you've started building out? Or is it still pretty close to the initial idea that you had?
I would say the first draft of Rebirth was kind of different from how it turned out when I first started drawing and posting it on Discover. But compared to that, I would say from the moment I posted on Discover to now, I'm saying it's pretty close to the original.
And what were the reasons when you started posting it that it changed? Did you just realize that it flowed better and the story just changed organically, or was there a reader reaction? Like, what was the reason for the changes?
Actually, I think it would flow better, and I want to explore more into the family drama. Okay. That's why I kind of changed it right there.
Yeah, the other thing that I really noticed, and again, it's such a compelling read, because even as readers on the outside looking in, we have a lot of knowledge of what's going on. We know that Noah is had a chance to come back to the past, and he's sort of doing things over, even though he ends up in uncharted territory because he does change things and things don't play out the same way. So even his advantage of kind of foreknowledge is kind of limited once he starts changing things. But even as a reader seeing all that, there are so many mysteries that we still don't know the answers to. You know, how did Noah come back? Who's controlling that? You know, what's going on with Neo? Yeah, there's just so many mysteries. So just like finding space to give everybody the spotlight in the story, especially the main characters, is it a challenge to kind of keep the mystery alive? Like, you've got to give us enough answers to keep us coming back, but at the same time, you don't want to give away too much too fast, because then maybe we won't come back, right? Have you found that to be a challenge when building out the story?
Yes, absolutely. I remember running my blog through some of my friends, and one of them told me to drop more hint. Like, there's not enough hint toward the bigger picture. But back at that time, I think there was enough hint already, and I was going to drop more in the future episode. So I know that with how slow some of my information is being reviewed, this can be frustrating. But when the reader finally got the answer to the prior mystery and started to go back, reread and connect the dot and dropping one comment about it, I feel like it's such a rewarding feeling for the storyteller in me.
Yeah, like, really pays off, right? And then it gives, like you said, the rereadability. You can go back, like, once something big happens, you go back and read and you see, oh, look, there were clues that you didn't even realize were there.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. You mentioned wanting to make some changes and add more family drama into it. What was your thinking in building so much dysfunction into the main characters? Was it just to have them like just more drama, or was it to build tension? What was your thinking there?
It's actually, it's part of the thing that I want to explore, because I really like exploring human emotion in relationship. To me, people are all human. Nobody is perfect. So not everything will go right in a person's life, and people make dumb choice sometimes. So from an outsider point of view, sometimes the right choice are very clear and obvious. But to the people that caught up in that exact situation, like Noah, the choice they make might completely be different. It's easier for an outsider to know what's the right answer. But obviously, to an inside person, it's not that clear to them. So it's part of the thing that I want to explore.
Yeah, especially, you know, it's easy for us on the outside looking in and having so much knowledge to kind of second guess. Plus, we're not emotionally invested. Mm-hmm. These aren't our relatives. You have that aspect of kind of some perspective to give you an idea of what the right choice is. But also, you don't have emotion clouding your judgment. So I can totally get it, especially not getting along with siblings. I think, you know, we can all relate to that in some way.
Yes, definitely.
I wanted to ask you about that both the mystery as it unfolds and looking for answers and looking for clues, and that family dynamic, in terms of what seems to get the most reaction from your fan base and your readers. Do they seem to talk more in the comments about kind of guessing at what some of these answers might be, or they spend more time talking about the kind of the relationships between characters?
I think it's actually depend on what part of the plot the story is on right now, because when I first reveal about Noah and Neo, people start talking about that more. And when I recently, the story is more about revealing the power that Noah has, and people start talking about that more right now in the comment section.
Yeah, now are we gonna, and if this is a spoiler, don't feel like you need to add, because we don't want to spoil it. We want to make sure everybody goes and checks it out for themselves. But are we gonna get to a point where almost everybody in the story has a power, or is it a little more rare than that?
I would say is depend. It's 50-50 actually.
Okay, fair enough.
Half of the cast might have power. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, that's fine, and that's what I like, because that's another aspect of the story that keeps me coming back, because I'm always kind of waiting to see, okay, who might manifest powers this time, and what might those powers be. It gives another little aspect to the story, something to look forward to. But I think the aspect of the story that has me most intrigued is this idea of going back and doing things over. So when I first read the description of the series, and it said, oh, this guy gets a chance to go back and, you know, change something in the past that was, you know, he feels it was a mistake or a regret. You know, I had no idea that it was a zombie set in, with a zombie apocalypse and this terrible, like, disaster. And so I was just thinking, you know, maybe he missed a chance to, like, ask a girl on a date, or, you know, maybe something bad happened to his family, a car accident or something. And he wants to go back and change it. Could have been any one of those things, and that would have been a really interesting story, and I think completely relatable, because I think if you're a human being, like you said, you've made a mistake, nobody's perfect, and a lot of us would love to be able to go back and correct a mistake that we made. The stakes are a lot higher here, because again, it's this terrible disaster and these crazy zombies. So when you first launched it on Discover, did people like flip out when they said, oh, wait, this is something so much more than just somebody going back to fix a mistake. It's zombies as well. Did that take a lot of people by surprise?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember hinting toward that there's a zombie apocalypse coming, but apparently people didn't even notice that until the actual apocalypse hit.
Did they just freak out and went, oh, my God, it's so much more than we thought it was?
Yes. Definitely. And that's the same thing when the power actually come into play. People also like, oh my God, there is even more art in here. And you were saying that everyone thought that the idea of a second, thought about the idea of second chance in life. And people only think that they could do better if they was giving a second chance. But the story is all about, is that really true though?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're familiar with, there's a movie called The Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher, where he has that power to go back, and he goes back and changes things, and things end up worse. So he keeps going further and further back, trying to fix things, and inevitably just makes it work worse. And I think you even mentioned in an early episode, right, talking about the butterfly effect, like sometimes you don't realize the smallest change and then it ripples out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you do read and follow the comic, you can see that the world is actually worse than what Noah remembered from 6 years ago.
Yeah, that's another thing with perspective. Sometimes when you're in the moment, you don't realize. As time goes on, you kind of forget. I think it's like childbirth that way. People always say that, you know, no woman in the midst of childbirth would ever have another child. But, you know, after you go through the pain, then you have the joy of having this child. And as time goes on, you forget how bad it hurts. And then you're willing to do it again. I guess in a way, it's the same thing. He forgot. Because I think about that too, right? Like, so often you may think, oh, I wish I could go back and change this, you know, especially like people that had a tough time in high school. Oh, I wish I could go back. But if you had to go back and go through all that pain again, is it really worth it?
Not high school.
Right? Yeah, I wouldn't want to go back there either. No way. Not if it has to be, you know, the same kind of struggling to fit in and all that. So it's a pretty interesting. But again, I think it's what makes this story so relatable on its surface. But then you add in the superpowers and the zombies and the family stuff, and it really sucks you in. So it's, again, a very compelling read. So if that's what you're going for, congratulations. You accomplished it very well.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Let's talk a little bit about the visual design of the strip. Is there any particular inspirations you were drawing on there, and how did you go about developing the look of the series?
I would say my style is more of an Eastern style because I really like how some of the Chinese illustration look of the elegance in it. But I also know that a lot of my readers say that my style is like industrial or something. It's like a clean line with dark shading. And I think it just fit in with the atmosphere of my comic. So I just kind of follow with that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned atmosphere, because the other thing I wanted to ask you about was the coloring. So many webtoon creators, they do it all. You know, you're drawing, or you're first you're plotting, then you're scripting, then you're drawing it, then you're coloring it. You know, often with flats, and then coming back with more detail. And with a story like this, with kind of that horror aspect of zombies and such, and plus, you know, the drama of family stuff, a lot of times you're going with dark colors over this really clean artwork, and it really sets up to help establish that atmosphere, establish that mood. So you said you did a lot of drawing when you were growing up. How did you develop your skill as a color artist? Because I think it's the way you're using colors in the story is so effective and helping set that atmosphere and set that mood.
As for coloring for Rebirth, I think in the beginning I spent more time shading it individually. But then as along the line, I just thought that just putting on a multiply layers on top of like a lot of lighting layers would give a darker atmosphere to the comic and like the cooler tone for the entire comic. So that's what I start to go toward too. It's also helped me save some time, because it's quickly comic and I have to do at least 50 panel. So
yeah, it's always the deadline when which often impresses me when a creator is able to do, you know, everything themselves. Hats off to you. It's such an incredible amount of work. So really you just kind of learn the coloring by trial and error then, it sounds like.
Yes, pretty much. Because if you read in the beginning, the coloring and the shading is kind of different as you read to the latest chapter.
Yeah, but you know, if you hadn't told me that you didn't do that on purpose, I wouldn't have done, because I did notice that it got darker, but I just thought it was a reflection of the story, like they're moving along and things are getting more dangerous, so of course it's going to get darker.
Okay, that worked out well.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just shift gears here and talk about Webtoon in particular. You mentioned that the title was on Discover first, so anybody who's read it on Discover probably knows more answers than those of us that are reading it on the featured side. So we always appreciate those that are further along in the story, not giving any spoilers. But what made you decide to try and put this on Discover in the first place? Like, how did you come across Webtoon, and what led to your decision to give it a try?
Actually, I think I found the first Webtoon I read was Noblesse. And that's where I found Webtoon in 2017. And one thing about manga that I read before that put me off from actually making manga was the arranging panel that manga usually have. Like, I don't actually take class on all of this manga creating, so I wasn't I wasn't sure how to get it right. So when I found Webtoon and I just see the way they do their panel, like the vertical scrolling format, I think even me who has no knowledge on panel could nail it. So that's how I kind of like, okay, maybe I can give it a try. And I also found it fascinating that anyone can just make a comic on Webtoon and publish it. So I'm just like, okay, I was on a practice on drawing anyway, so why don't I just make a comic and start practicing?
And did you already have this idea for the story when you decided, well, if I'm just going to do a comic, I'm going to do this really cool zombie story? Or did you decide to do a comic first and then had to come up with the idea?
Actually, I already have a story in plan, because like I told you, I really like writing stories. So I always have a story in the back that I'm writing in my free time. Rebirth is one of those where I just smash up a bunch of little story that I wrote and then put it together.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. So when you first put it on Discover, did it catch on right away, or did you have to kind of put some effort into building up a fan base?
It's actually caught on right away. It's actually surprised me a lot about Webtoon that they have so many readers, and somehow my comic just kind of blew up on Discover back then. I remember even writing an announcement saying that, oh my gosh, where did you guys own came from? And I start to publish like every 2 days for like 5 to 10 panels to kind of build up on that.
Wow. So do you remember some of those early interactions with the readers? Is there any of them that stand out in your mind?
I do remember one person that always comment on every episode and even write review for my comic on their blog, and even approach me asking me questions. They all have been really sweet, actually.
That's really great. And what about other creators? Have you had a chance to interact or meet any creators in either online or in real life?
Oh yeah, actually, I make a lot of amazing creator friends through Webtoon. I remember when I first started on Discover, I was approached by one of the Discover creator, and we kind of get into a group chat together, and that group chat kind of grew to like 20, 30 people. And eventually, nowadays I only talk to a few people, but I do talk to them daily. And we got to meet each other when I went to SakuraCon in April this year.
What was that experience like, getting to meet them in real life?
It was awesome. And we do plan to go together again in October to meet each other again.
Oh, that's
awesome. For the Los Angeles Con.
Oh, I'm going to be at that show.
Are you?
Yeah. The Los Angeles Comic Con. Yeah, I think I'm going to be moderating some Webtoon panels, actually. So.
Oh, yeah. We decided to go to that con because Webtoon's going to be there. And when we went to SakuraCon, Webtoon wasn't there, even though there was a bunch of us creators there.
That's cool. So you mentioned discovering Webtoon through a strip. Are there any strips that you're currently reading right now that you keep up with that you would recommend to people?
Yes, I'm pretty sure everyone knows Lumine, yeah. But I also recommend Lalin Curse. Those are the two of my current favorite that I still have time to keep up with beside my deadline. And I'm also looking forward to Code Atom that should be launching soon in future. I've been in contact with the creator of Code Atom, and they've been working really hard on it, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, I'll definitely have to keep my eyes out for that one too. Well, again, I want to thank you for joining me. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I do want to give you a chance, no spoilers, but if you have any hints of things to come, give our listeners a reason that they should definitely be picking up this strip and checking it out. What do you have that's coming up in the strip that has you most excited?
I think it actually the most exciting part just passed, that people can kind of come in and read it right now. The whole thing with the Noah powers and all that. Mm-hmm. But another season one is ending soon. It should only take a dozen more chapters or so. There's going to be a bigger surprise about Neo in particular that's going to be revealed soon. So that's what I'm most excited to review.
Wait, so you're going to reveal something exciting about Neo right at the end of season one, and then we have to wait for season two to find out more about it?
Yes.
I'm excited, and I'm I know you need a break. Everybody needs a break because, again, the Webtoon deadline is never ending. It seems like you're always working on the deadline. But I'm going to be anxiously awaiting the return of the strip in season two, it sounds like. Well, again, I want to thank you for joining us, Michi. I really enjoy the strip. I can't wait to... And here's the thing about it. Like, I discover one of these strips before we have somebody come on, and I completely binge on it and devour it. And I think that there was like 50 or 51 episodes of Rebirth. But now I'm in the same boat as everybody else that's been reading from the beginning, because now I don't have a big chunk of story, and I'm stuck waiting for the next. next episode, which is a good problem to have. So, but I want to give you a chance to, if there's anything you want to say to your listeners or to your readers rather, or to our listeners, anything you want to share with them as we close up here.
Okay. For any of my reader who's listening to this interview, thank you for sticking with me for so long. It's been like, what, 3 years? I would have never got this far without the support and encouragement from you guys. And a special thank to you, James, for having me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I'm looking forward to meeting you in October. It'll be great.
Yay.
Do we know when season two, is it going to be coming back right around that time?
I think season one should be ending around August or September. So I would think I'll only take around a month or so hiatus before season two come back, hopefully.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, so maybe right around that time or soon thereafter. Great. Mm-hmm. Well, before you go, Michi, what's the best place to, where's the best place to follow you online if any of our listeners or your readers don't already follow you, to find out when the episodes come out and what you're up to and all that kind of stuff?
I'm mostly active on Instagram. People can find me on there and on Twitter, but Instagram mostly. I always update with story and stuff and announcing new episodes on there.
Okay, great. And I'll put links to Michi's social media in the show notes, everybody. So if you have trouble finding her, you can just go there, click on the links, and you'll be able to find it right there really easily. So again, Michi, congratulations on the series and your success. I look forward to this big reveal about Neo, who I think is probably my favorite character, just because he's a little kid. He doesn't put up with anybody's crap. I love it. It's so amazing. So look forward to that, and look forward to meeting you in October.
All right. Thank you.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.